Welcome to the podcast. I'm Larry Matthews. Today we're joined by Barbara Silkstone. She is a best-selling author of the Wendy Darlin Tomb Raider series. It includes Wendy and the Lost Boys, London Broil, and all. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Welcome, Barbara.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I'm a resident of Florida. I grew up in New Jersey, but attended Catholic school, and where the nuns tried to discourage me from writing. And so, of course, I ran away to Florida and became a writer. That's the Catholic version.
There you go. And so tell us about the Wendy Darlin Tomb Raider series. What's that?
Well, I started to have a lot of fun with one of my characters. Wendy Darlin started off in her first book as Wendy from Peter Pan and the Lost Boys, and I discovered she had legs. I don't mean the walking legs, but legs to travel through other adventures. And in the first book, she met an archaeologist posing as an SEC investigator, and he was on hot on the trail of stolen Egyptian antiquities, and she joined him on an adventure with Charlie Hook, who was a Ponzi renegade who was at sea racing from the federal investigators, and they got caught up in an adventure, and then one thing led to another, and the next time Roger Jolly, the archaeologist, asked Wendy to join him, they went off to London and did London Broil, where they followed up on finding one more antiquity that had been stolen. I call her a tomb raider, but she's actually a tomb returner, and they bring things back that have been stolen. And then the third adventure, they are after looking for Cleopatra's grave, and Roger's been asked to find the grave for the Egyptian government. And so Wendy and Roger are in Cairo and trudging through the desert, and eventually they find, well, they find adventure. And they meet all sorts of unusual characters, kick them off, a street peddler, and Fiona Feelgood, who is a virgin librarian writing a writing erotica for dummies. She's writing her first book, and she's learning as she goes. And there's Petri Dish, who's a French archaeologist. My characters all seem to come up with unusual names for themselves. But so that's the third adventure, and I'm currently working on the fourth adventure, which is called Miami Mummies, where they will discover and work on some mummies that have been found in a construction site in Miami.
Who are the Wendy Darlin books for? I mean, who are your readership?
My readership would be folks who really enjoy Indiana Jones. I think of Wendy as a female Indiana Jones. Her adventures are geared to that reader. They're geared to readers of like Carl Hyson's books, because a lot of the action takes place in Florida, in Miami. As a matter of fact, Wendy attended Carl Hyson High School, and that's where she learned a lot of her snarkiness. And so I would say my readers are anybody who has a sense of humor and likes their adventures on the light side, people who perhaps at one time or another enjoyed Lucille Ball, because she does have a lot of Lucille Ball. So, yeah, I visualize either Lucy or maybe Deborah Messing from Will and Grace. Deborah Messing playing the roles. They're very visual actions that she gets into. She's forever tripping herself up and yet somehow comes out on top.
Now let's talk about the criminally funny fables. Tell us about those. I'm sitting here looking at this title, The Secret Diary of Alice in Wonderland, age 42 and three quarters. Alice is all grown up.
Yeah, Alice is all grown up, and she should know better at 42 and three quarters, but she gets involved with an internet Lothario, a Brit, because she's desperately she really wants to live in England, and she trips across a Brit on the internet and is swept off her feet. But meantime, her employer is a developer, a Miami developer who has shady connections, and so she's sandwiched in between. Eventually, she has to go to court to defend herself, because no lawyer will take her civil case, and so she defends herself in some of the, what I think, if I can crack myself up, then I'm really having a good time, and I had a good time with that one, because Wendy in court is a sight to behold. She is joined by her little buddy, a young gay guy who helps her, and that's the only help she has as she goes back and forth to court every single day to try to defend herself against bogus charges brought up by this developer. There's a scene where she has to get up and introduce herself, and unfortunately her skirt has risen up as she's sitting at the front table, and her bracelet gets stuck on her pantyhose, and her arm is stuck to her thigh, and she has to inch towards the bench, and she says to the lady judge, may I go behind the bench? And the judge cautions her and says, no, the term is approach the bench. She says, no, you don't understand, I have to go behind the bench. It's a great scene, I just absolutely love it. So, but she prevails.
And then there's this title, Zoe White and the Seven Morphs.
Okay. I was walking around and trying to find a word that rhymed with dwarfs. I wanted something that was clever for the Zoe White series, and the word morphs popped into my mind. I Googled it and found out that there are over 1 million likes and fans of something called morph suits. They're based in Scotland, and they are those unibody suits that basically thin young men wear in multicolors, and they go out and pull pranks. They're very popular internationally. So I decided that the morphs would become the Seven Dwarfs, and they assist Wendy. They're actually heroes in disguise. People accept their costumes as normal. They don't question the fact that these guys are walking around in these colorful suits, and they help Zoe White escape from a predator, and they land in Miami at a turtle rescue ranch, where from there they have a series of adventures and then finally set out to sea to save the world.
So where do you come up with these ideas?
I know. I think it's just, it comes from listening and watching Looney Tunes for way too long. It really does. It's almost like Harry Potter's owl comes in the window and drops a message, and I have the name, or I have the name of the character, or I have the plot. Just they're like delivered in my imagination as I'm pacing back and forth in my home. So that's where I come up with these things. Cold Case Morphs is a spinoff of the morphs again, those silly one piece suits that seem to be so popular with young skinny men, and that became a kind of a noir, a tribute to noir. Now the book that I'm working on now, Miami Mummies, will be a tribute to Alfred Hitchcock, kind of a tip of the hat to Alfred Hitchcock.
So I talk to a lot of authors, and I always ask them the same question. Are you a pantser or a plotter? Do you fly by the seat of your pants, or do you plot all your books out before you actually sit down to write them?
I do a little plotting, but then, you know, those characters take it and run in the other direction. So probably a combination. I know where I'm headed, but gosh darn it, you know, there'll be this villain that'll show up and throw everything off in another direction.
I was talking with an author yesterday who is a kind of a pantser, as am I, and both of us have found ourselves kind of painted into a corner, and, you know, this, how do I get out of this, or do I have to scrap all of that? Does that ever happen to you?
Oh, gosh, that happened in Cairo Caper, because I had them traveling and having so many adventures. By the time they got to Cleopatra's tomb, I had to pull back and weed through the adventures, because there were just too many wonderful characters who showed up to mess with their lives. And yes, that's happened. And that was the first time that I truly got myself boxed into a corner, being way too clever.
So let's talk about your writing schedule. Do you write every day? Do you have a set time when you sit down and write?
I do, yes. I'm an early bird. I get up at about 4 or 5 in the morning, and then I start writing. That's when I'm really hot to go. I'm trying to think what author mentions said something like that while you're still in a dream state, it's a good time to write, and that's probably what happens. I'm still in a dream state, but then by the late afternoon, I'm tired. I've had enough of sitting at the computer, sitting at the desk.
So do you write all day?
Yeah, I do. I do. I pretty well hit it, because once it starts, I can't put a cork in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good for you. So how many books do you have out total?
There's 9 right now. If you count the box sets, there's 9. I have The Adventures of the Love Investigator was the first book that was out there. That was one of those harebrained schemes that I launched on, where I decided I would interview 1,000 men in 1 year about their feelings on about women and relationships and love. And I had no idea that men would talk so much, because six years later, I'd only interviewed half the men. I was at 500, and I went a little bit further, and then I thought, if I listen to a man talk one more time, I probably will be arrested for murder. And so I stopped at 527 men, and then there was no way I could take all the information I had garnered and make it into a book, so I had to make it into a humorous book about my adventures traveling the country and listening to men run off with men relationships.
Some of them may still be talking, wondering where you went.
Oh my God, I've got to tell you, they probably are. I had no idea. The first one I interviewed, I've never interviewed anybody in my life, and the first one I was set up for was Timothy Leary. Can you believe that?
Oh,
that was right before he died. He was very ill, and I was interviewing Timothy Leary. I couldn't believe I'd gotten to that place in time. And he talked for 4 days. It was amazing. And from there, one thing led to another, and I found myself traveling the country interviewing men either in their homes or in their offices. I ran a great risk, which I really wasn't thinking about at the time. But everything turned out well, except that I learned way too much.
Well,
I became a woman who knew too much.
Well, I mean, it's really, come on. You're sitting down with a guy, especially, you know, a prominent guy, and you say, let's talk about you. He's thinking, okay, where do I begin? I know. I was born in Massachusetts.
No. My question was, tell me about the women in your life and how they've affected you.
Ah.
And that's all I would have to say. And pal, I had questions prepared, but they'd go for it.
Did you ever get a chance to ask a second question?
Sometimes, occasionally. But it was very, very interesting. And I tried to cover as many, you know, kind of spread the demographics as far as age, background, whether they were the first child in a family, whether their parents stayed together. I had charts and graphs, and I had phone calls, constant phone calls. I would get calls saying, you're the woman who listens to men? Yes, I am. Are you going to be in Manhattan?
So at some point you thought, this is the worst idea I ever had.
Oh, yes. I had two meltdowns. I thought, I can't go any further. And then it's one of those things where you start a project and you have so much time invested that you feel you have to finish it, which I did finish it. And then I just kind of went into a nunnery for about a year.
And then to the rescue rides Wendy Darlin. Save you.
Exactly.
Well, this has been wonderful. We've been talking with Barbara Silkstone. She's the best-selling author of the Wendy Darlin Tomb Raider series and Criminally Funny Fables. Where can we get these books?
They're available on Amazon Kindle. And if anyone just goes to my author's page, which is Barbara Silkstone at Amazon, they'll see a list of my books and they can pick them up there.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Great talking to you.